لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد قال تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون ولولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described a reality, a haqiqat, a time that will invariably, without a doubt, come upon every single one of us. And I decided to talk about that today because today is the last day of Eid. And one day, it will be my last day. Not on the Eid, but on this earth. And one day it will also be your last day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described so beautifully in his kalam those final moments. And he said, Balawla idha balaghat al-hulqum. He described that moment when the breath is stuck in the throat. When you are struggling, the person who is dying is struggling to breathe. He can neither take the breath in or let it out. And all the medical paraphernalia and all the technology that his money can buy cannot buy him one peaceful breath of air. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah said, you are standing there and watching, looking on. How many times have we seen this happening with our own loved ones? Where you are standing there and seeing it happening, struggling for breath. Maybe there were some people there who were standing and watching who would gladly have exchanged their place for the place of that person. Ya Allah, take me instead of him. But doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. When it is my life, I have to go. And Allah reminds her, he said, you were standing there watching. Tarjuna haykum sadhbin. You think you are so powerful? You want to stand on the face of this earth and deny your creator? You want to eat the food he gave you? You want to get the strength from the material that he gave you? You want the money that he gave you and you use that against him? You're so powerful, then return that breath. Leave the whole world, just that one breath which is stuck in the throat. I'll seek it. Only one breath. Return it. That is your life. And it is the mercy of Allah that he didn't leave it there. And he comforted and consoled us. Well, he said, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُشْكُرُونَ. He said, but we are the closest to you at that time. We are the closest to the one who is dying at that time. You cannot see us. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself, when you know that this time is going to come on every single one of us. Every single one. And you and I do not know when it will come. Sometimes the Badu Arabs, the tribes, would come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they would ask him, when is the day? When is the day of judgment? When will the hour be established? And Rasulullah used to look at the group and he would point to the youngest one among them. They would come with their children and so on. He would point to the youngest one among them and he would say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this young one a long life, then the day will be established for every single other one of you. If Allah gives this young one a long life, then the day of judgment would have come for every single other one of you before it is. What does it mean? It means that all the others will die before he dies. And the day of judgment for the person is the day he dies. That is why in the Sharia it is called Qiyamah al-Sohra, the small Qiyamah. For him the day comes when he dies. That day will come for you, and it will come for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah, he mentioned three kinds of people. Zulullah ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three kinds of people even at the beginning of the surah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah rest assured, we heard this surah in Tahajjud today. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summed up that entire detailed narration from the beginning of the surah in this last part of the surah. Muqarrabeen, Ashab al-Yameen, and Mukadhibeen al-Qadi, Ashab al-Shuhal. Three groups, Azwaj al-Thalath. And that choice has been given to us. None of the doors have been shut. Even though with respect to the Muqarrabeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَلِّمْ بِالْآخِرِينَ. Lot of them among the early generations and a few among the later generations. So the door is open. What is the meaning of few? We don't know. Allah knows that. May Allah make all of you among those. And with the Ashab al-Yameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door even wider open. Zulatum bil awwalin wa zulatum bil akhirin. Lots of them from the early generations and lots of them from the later generations. And then of course, Allah protect us and save us from being counted among the mukhatibin of Ghali, the people who denied and the people who misguided. Our choice, we have been given this choice. Which group do you want to be in? And this choice is not restricted or limited only to wanting it. Nobody will want to be in Jahannam. Even the ones who end up in Jahannam don't actually want to be there. They don't make dua, Allah send them to Jahannam, no. So wanting is one thing, and then proving the truthfulness of that want by acting, by doing those deeds which take you to that place. That is another thing. You can want something, but unless you do those deeds, you won't get it. You want to fly a plane, you have to go and learn how to fly a plane. You can't just say, I want to fly a plane. You can want, but if you don't know how, if you don't learn, it's not going to happen. So also with our career, so also with our businesses, so also with our families. You want to get married, you want to have a beautiful married life. If wanting alone would do it, there would be absolutely no unhappiness in marriage. Find me a couple who want to get married in order to have a lousy married life. Find me a couple who actually want to get married in order to create problems for each other. Nobody. People want to get married, they want to, but doesn't happen. Why? Because no effort is made. They think just wanting is enough. It's not enough. It's not enough in this world. And it is not enough for the act. Wanting must be supported by the action that is required for that want to become a reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these three groups. The people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of the right hand, who will get their amal in their right hand, we ask Allah to make us among them, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His great mercy didn't just show us the pictures, didn't just show us the destination and leave it to us to say, find your way there. Allah did not leave it like that. He didn't say, go find your way there. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the way. Ya Allah, I want to be among the Muqarrabun. Ya Allah, I want to be among the Ashabul Yameen. How can I be among the Ashabul Yameen and among the Muqarrabun? Allah showed us the way. Now there are two ways of directing somebody. If someone wants to come to this venue and he's new to the place, he does not know where this hotel is, there are two ways of guiding that person. One is to email the person the Google Map coordinates which he prints out. So now he has a map and he follows the road on the map. So that's one way, it's a good way. But a lot depends on the person's ability to follow that map. So even though the map is accurate, not everybody has the same ability to follow the map. Maybe somebody misreads the map. And he thinks that one road is going somewhere, the road is actually going somewhere else. So it's not the fault of the map, but it's the fault of the reader of the map. So he may still not reach the place because he misread the map. So that, but as a way of giving directions, you can't say it is wrong, it is not right, it's correct. Map is there. But an even better way of giving a direction is to give the map and then send somebody who knows the way to say, go bring this person. So you are told that here is the map, but follow this person. Just go behind this person. So if you are following someone who knows the way, you don't have to ask for directions. You don't have to worry, is taking a left turn, is that the right one, they took a right turn, is that the right one, you don't have to worry about that. Because he is somebody who knows the way. Absolutely surefire way of reaching the destination without fail is to follow somebody who knows how to get there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu did exactly that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a map. You want to get to Jannah? Here is a map. And here is a guide who will hold you by the hand and take you to Jannah. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful hadith, says every Muslim, everyone who accepts Iman will enter Jannah except the one who refuses. He said, all of my ummah will enter Jannah except the one who refuses. So Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? Who will refuse? He said, the one who obeys me will enter Jannah, the one who disobeys me has refused. The meaning of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the guide. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us about this guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah said, this guide is the one. You may say, well, here's the guide. So what must I take from this guide? What must I look for in this guide? What must I take from this guide? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take everything. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Everything. Life is very simple. You don't have to pick and choose. You don't have to think what is more important, what is less important. No. Take everything. Whatever he did, you do. Whatever he said, you say. Whatever he stopped you from, you stop. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet gives you, whatever the Rasul gives you, take it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he stops you from, stop. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this Uswatul Hasan, this Uswatul Hasanah, this beautiful life, mold yourself on it, be like that, and who is it for? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. See the Bayan of the Quran. يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, the one who wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said before, who wants to meet somebody? Only the one who expects a good meeting. Nobody wants to meet someone who gets punished. The one who wants to meet Allah. The one who wants the day of judgment to be established. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the hadith related to the journey of the soul, he said, when the good person dies, he said, Ya Allah, establish the day of judgment quickly. Bring the day quickly. So that I can be united with my family. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will keep. Allah mentioned this in Surah Al-Yasin, in other places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the families together, Allah will keep the husband and wife together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the parents and children together in the day of judgment. We ask Allah to unite us with all those we love and all those who love each other. And the most of them, and the biggest of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why one of the salaf, there's this beautiful quote. He said, if you do not see me, he said to his friend, he said, when you go into Jannah, if you do not see me, ask for me. Ask for me. Ask Allah and say, oh Allah, this man used to remind us about you. And he used to teach us about you. We don't find him here. Ya Allah, where is he? Because, so they said, what will happen if we ask He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you ask and if you are people of Jannah, Allah will give you the authority to go and bring me out to wherever I am. So my request to you is that when you go into Jannah, if you do not see me, ask for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this Uswatul Hasan. Allah said, Ya Dullaha wal Yawala, wa dhakar Allaha kathira. Automatically, the one who wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not occasionally, not once in a while, not when he is free, kathira. Lot of the girl. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went a step ahead. What must I follow in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Must I follow what he told me to do specifically? Must I follow what he used to do deliberately? Must I also follow things that he did not do deliberately, but he did accidentally, he did occasionally, he did coincidentally, he did maybe as a matter of habit? Should I follow that also, or should I say, ye to aadat thi? Iski kya zarurat hai? Ye to ittefaqan nabi ne kiya tha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah. Say to those who claim to love Allah, qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Make my ittiba. He did not say fahdiyuni, he did not say obey me, he said ittiba, fattabiuni. What will happen? Yuhibbukum Allah. Allah will love you. Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, what happens? Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Allah will forgive your sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this, make the ittiba of the Nabi. You are asking, is it, should I do what he told me to do, or should I also do what he never mentioned? But he didn't. The difference between itta'at and ittiba is very important to understand this, because we get a lot of confusion, unnecessary confusion. Itta'at is obedience. Obedience requires an instruction or an order. You cannot obey unless you have an instruction or an order. Itaat is obedience. Do this, you did it. You are a mujtahid, you have obeyed. Do this, you did not do that, you are disobedient. Please get me another cup of tea. He is obedient. If he did not do it, he would be disobedient. But until I requested him, until I asked him to get me a cup of tea, if I say, you are disobedient, you just said, what did I do? What is my mistake? You did not get me the tea, but you never asked me for the tea. If you asked me for the tea, when did I say I did not get it for you? For itaat, the hukum is shart. For ittiba, love is shart. Not hukum. Hub, Muhammad. Ittiba is imitation. Ittiba is emulation. Ittiba is acting like. Why do you wear the Manchester United t-shirt with the emblem of Shaitan on it? Yeah, one of my, I love these youngsters. So pure in the heart, mashallah. One of them was wearing a Manchester United trouser, track pants. So in the hotel room there are these bandits. So I mentioned this Manchester United Shaitan, so he put a sticker, he put a bandit on the Shaitan, and he said, can I play with this? With Manchester United thing with the bandit on it. Put the bandit on Shaitan. Very nice. Seriously, ask why wearing that? Because you love that football club. Does anybody in that Manchester United team, does anyone in that team even know that you exist? Do they care to hoots whether you exist or not? If you drop dead tomorrow, do you think they are going to say we will observe 2 minutes silence because our fan died? If the actual fan dies, maybe they will do it, but not for you. But you are wearing. Why are you wearing? Because you love this. Michael Jordan, the basketball player, and a lot of the basketball players, they are, you know, 8 feet tall and they wear size 25 shoes, like boats. They literally get in the shoe and sail across the sea. So when they walk with a kind of a, they walk as if they have shock absorbers in the knees. You know, you can see the spring. And in America, you will see a lot of these youngsters who are basketball fans. When he's walking, he's walking like this. And he's 4 foot nothing. Why? He's imitating Michael Jordan. Because I love Michael Jordan. Why? Because he can throw a ball at a hoop. I'm not saying it's not an achievement. I can't do it. Save my life. But I don't think that's one of the questions of the day of judgment. Did you throw the ball at the hoop? Imitation is a sign of love. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, about whom Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha said that if there is one person among the Sahaba who is closest to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who follows every single action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is on his camel. He is going down a street. In one particular place, he bends down like this. People say, what happened? Why did you bend down? He says, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going down the street on his camel, and at that time there used to be a tree here, and there was a branch of the tree across the street, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bent down to get under the branch of the tree. Alhamdulillah. But today there is no tree. Today there is no tree, there is no branch, there is no nothing. Why are you bending? Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bent. When he bent under the tree, did he say that every time you pass this place, whether there is a tree or not, you should bend? Did he say this? This bending to get under the branch of the tree was his wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is somewhere in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bent under the tree because there was a tree. I mean, you have to bend. So what is the action of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu? What does it indicate for you? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu again. Again he is doing on his camp. At one particular place, he makes the camel do two turns and then kneel down and sit down. Then he dismounts and he prays two rakat of salah. Can you say this very straight? Why are you doing this? Making the camel do two turns and the camel sits down and you pray two rakat of salah. He said one day Rasulullah came to this place and his camel took two turns and sat down and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed two rakat of salah. Now think about this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel probably bent like going around twice. Who knows? I've never been a camel, so I don't know how camels think, but you know. And he prayed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed to Rasulullah. Why did he pray? How did he pray? Did he say every time you dismount from the camel, you will pray to Rasulullah? No. Ittiba, imitation, emulation is a sign of love. You make the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give you Jannah. You make the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will love you. Ittiba karo, ita'at karo ko to Jannah milegi, ittiba karo ko to Allah milega. Allah said, I will love you. Yuhibbukum Allah. How many of you want Allah to love you? Simple. Make the ittiba of Rasul. Make the ittiba of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, please, His deen is easy. His deen is simple. Don't complicate your life unnecessarily by asking useless questions which have no value either for you or anybody else. By getting involved in unnecessary, useless discussions which have no value for you or anybody else. Stick to the straight and narrow. Stick to the middle path, which is Islam. Ensure that you do not commit shirk. Ensure that you completely fulfill all your fara'id. Ensure that you eat halal. Ensure that you earn halal. And ensure that you make the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of your life. In your appearance, in your walking and talking, in your akhlaq, in your manners, in your mu'amilat, in your dealing with people, in your mu'ashara, in your society. Not only as a result of this, not only will you have a very beautiful life in this world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. The one who Allah loves, where do you think you go? There is only one place you can go, which is Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with the one who we love the most. And let Allah make that one Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let Allah make that one Himself Jalla Jalal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please with you and to make your last day the best day of your life. And this also was a dua. There was a man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by, and there was a man who was praying salah, he was making dua, and he did dua, he did this beautiful, beautiful dua, and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't recall the entire, all the words of this beautiful dua and the prayer, but he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, oh Allah, the one who no eye can see. You are the one who no eye can see. You are the one who no mind can comprehend and understand. You are the one who knows and sees everything but nobody can see. He said, oh Allah, you are the one who knows the exact weight of the mountains. And you are the one who knows the exact number of raindrops which fall. See, people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like what they and he prayed Allah like this. And then he made dua and he said, oh Allah, make the last of my deeds the best of my deeds. And make the last day when I will meet you the best day of my life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there and listened to his dua. And then he got one of the Sahaba to stand there and he said, when this man finishes, bring him. So when the man finished his salah and dua, and one of the Sahaba said, the Prophet wants to meet you, so he brought the man to him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a piece of gold which somebody had given him from some mine it had come in. So he took this piece of gold and he gave it to this man. And he said to him, do you know why I gave you this gold? So this man happened to be from a tribe which was related to the Quraysh and the Banu Hashim, so he knew this. So the man said, maybe you gave this to me because I am related to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is a good thing to keep the relationships alive, but that is not the reason I gave you. He said, the reason I gave you this piece of gold is because of the beautiful way in which you praised and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise that dua. That is the dua I made for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last of your deeds the best of your deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last day of your life, the day you meet Him, the best day of your life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your soul in a state where He is pleased with you. And to show you the bashara of His forgiveness before you die. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you your place in Jannah before you die. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who inspires the word of dua, the one who puts the word of the dua in the heart, the one who makes dua, to complete the circle because He is the one, He is Rabbul Alameen, He is the one who never leaves anything incomplete. I ask him to complete the circle. After having inspired the world of the dua, by granting that dua and fulfilling and completing that circle, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.